Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast with me, your host, Danny Kennedy, and you're listening to episode number 12. On today's episode, we're joined by one of Melbourne's top entrepreneurs, Jeremy Rich. So, Jez, can you tell us a bit about yourself, what you've done as an entrepreneur so far, and also what you've done in the business world?
Yeah, thanks, Danny. So I started after finishing University of Melbourne working in corporate finance for the National Australia Bank for approximately 4 years before founding a company by the name of Energy Matters in 2005. We were a solar power system provider very early on in the evolution of solar power technology and solar power solutions for the Australian marketplace. So we were one of the pioneers and very lucky to have entered the market when we did. The government came in and supported solar panels with a lot of rebates and subsidies and kick-started the industry with a big catalyst. And we rode that roller coaster and that wave for 10 years. And then in 2014, we were approached by the largest renewable energy company in the world at that time, a company by the name of Sun Edison, was listed on the New York Stock Exchange under the ticker SUNE. And after a lot of due diligence and a lot of negotiations and a very challenging time, we were able to successfully close and sell the business to Sun Edison at the end of 2015. I then stayed on as managing director for Sun Edison Australia for 12 months and have now just recently started a new business called Lightning Broadband, which is a high-speed internet provider to the Australian marketplace.
Cool. So for those of you that don't know, Jez is one of my clients and one of my good mates. So for those listening at home, what is the speed of Lightning Broadband equivalent to in regards to other servers out there at the moment?
Yeah, so Lightning Broadband provides an enterprise commercial grade solution to residential and businesses. So a solution that was really only available for the very, very top end of town. The big, big corporates would install direct fiber connections. We make that solution and those speeds available to average residential homes, to all Australians. That's our value proposition. So the speeds are very, very fast and can be up to 10 times what the NBN is currently providing.
That's amazing. And you can actually go on the site and test your internet speed compared to Lightning Broadband, can't you?
Correct, yes. You can go on there and do a speed test and you'll see how much you need Lightning Broadband in your life.
Awesome. So we might touch on Lightning Broadband again a little bit later on. But for now, for those listening at home that don't know what a startup business is, do you want to tell us quickly about basically what a startup is?
Yeah, startup business is exactly as it states. You know, it's a startup. There's basically nothing there. There's hardly any people in the team. There'll be very little processes and systems in place. There'll be typically, you know, a poor customer experience at that point in time. And financially speaking, they're not, you know, they're generally sucking a lot of cash and not generating profits. So, you know, it's a huge effort to get a startup to the next stage, to put in the right team, the right people. To recruit people into a startup can be very challenging because they don't have the security of a big corporate. So to find high quality people is definitely challenging, and also to be able to afford to remunerate them at the levels that are required is challenging. Then you need to be working on systems and processes, and then that will deliver a good customer experience and in time good cash flow and profits.
Yep, and something I've kind of noticed over the past 12 months is a lot of people are unaware of what. So for example, your startup, you need to get someone to invest in the business. But I feel as though what a lot of people don't understand is getting someone to invest is basically handing over a percentage of your business.
Yeah, correct. It's very hard to raise typical bank debt for a startup because you don't have the track record that banks require. They usually like to see a few years of trading. They also like to see profitable trading. And they also like to see, you know, a strong balance sheet or other forms of backup security, all of which typically startups do not possess. And as such, you need to usually give up equity in the business early on. And a lot of startups have to give up a lot of equity early on to be able to succeed and survive.
Yep. And you've obviously mentioned the specifics of what businesses and companies you've started so far, but they've both, you know, the one now looks like it's going to be very successful and the other one clearly was. What do you think are the most important aspects of starting a successful business, or some of the ground rules, I guess, that really set it up for success later on?
Yeah, definitely people is key. So if you have good quality people that have the right environment to work in, that are heavily motivated and incentivized to perform, that is definitely the key, because those good people will put in the required systems, the required processes, and they'll have an eye on the customer at all times and ensuring every customer receives a good customer experience. So definitely people is critical and the most important thing. But at the same time, if you don't have the required cash flow, then obviously you won't survive. So managing cash flow and raising cash flow is also critical in a startup. So I would say people and cash are the two most important things in a startup.
Yeah, and that obviously applies to not only the businesses that you started, but any business, yeah?
Any business. You know, a good entrepreneur is always watching the bank account, the cash in and the cash out, not necessarily reports and so forth. They're important and they may be telling the same story, but you know, you really need to be watching the hard cash coming in and out, because that's what's going to, you know, make or break a business. And then, you know, hiring, always hire people that are better than you, that are smarter than you. You know, don't be afraid to pay them a higher salary than you to do the job if it's required. That's the key.
Yep. And do you find, especially someone that's come up with the idea themselves, do you find that a lot of people find it hard to then hand over responsibilities to other people? Do you find that people that are starting up a startup and it's their own idea, do you find they struggle with kind of letting other people take care of stuff that they feel as though they should be doing themselves?
Yeah, I think that restricts a lot of growth of a lot of startups, because they hold things very close and they don't empower others. If you want to grow quickly, you need to empower others. And as I said, everyone has their strengths and weaknesses, and so you need to employ, recruit people that are better than you at different parts. Put in a, you know, high performing team like any sports team. You need to have a mix of skills in the team. You can't just have all full forwards and so forth. So it is definitely about a team effort, and the people at the coalface speaking to customers, to top management, to financial controllers and so forth. Everyone has different skills, so you need to bring a team together and you need to empower them to do their roles, you know, hold them accountable, measure them with KPIs, but you know, try to unleash their potential as much as possible.
Yep. And in your journey so far, what are some of the mistakes, or I guess bigger mistakes, that you've learned from as an entrepreneur and as a startup business that you could kind of help others with and help them not make the same mistakes as what you have in the past?
Yeah, I think the biggest mistakes, again, come back to people and recruitment. And if you're not sure, unfortunately, you need to move on from those people. So, you know, during the recruitment process, have a very rigorous recruitment process. Take recruitment very seriously, because obviously the cost to have to remove people, the cost to have to rehire, the cost to train is massive. So the key is to be very rigorous on the interview process, really put people through their paces, But then, you know, it's still very difficult to determine if they're going to be suitable for the role. Interviews are difficult to be able to, you know, challenging to be able to determine if somebody is 100% obviously going to be successful in that role. So the only other way after that is to really watch them closely, give them a lot of effort, invest in them heavily, train them heavily. But after 3 months, if you're not sure, then you extend their probation for 3 months. And the end of 6 months, if you're not sure at the end of 6 months, then unfortunately you need to move on and start again.
Yeah, okay. And the next thing I wanted to talk about is so someone like Gary Vaynerchuk classes an entrepreneur as someone that physically cannot work for someone else. Who do you class as an entrepreneur, and what do you think? What are some of the sacrifices and, I guess, kind of the rules that you think it takes to be a successful entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think a successful entrepreneur would be someone that is extremely persistent, very driven, and typically won't take no for an answer. An entrepreneur can work inside a corporate environment if given a lot of freedom, which is typically challenging, so it is not commonplace. But if they're really given a lot of freedom, given their own profit and loss to run, and really unleash, then it can be successful. But typically, big corporations have to acquire, startups that are built by entrepreneurs, because they can't really incubate them within their own environments and their own cultures. So typically entrepreneurs do need to work for themselves, and they're just very, very driven people, you know, tend to be borderline workaholics, you could say.
Yep. And do you think that's one of the sacrifices that most entrepreneurs make, is the fact that they are so driven and kind of focused on the one thing, that they do start to, I guess, suffer in other areas of their life in regards to sacrificing, you know, time with family, friends, other social type of things that, you know, people that aren't entrepreneurs that are just working inside a system may be able to keep a better balance with?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's always a challenge for everyone in life, no matter if you're an entrepreneur or if you're just working for a big corporation in a senior management job or any role in any business, really, is always to find the balance between personal, family and business. And it's always a daily challenge for everyone. I know less for entrepreneurs, but I do think, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs do travel a lot, and they do work very hard. But not to say that other, as I said, senior corporate executives aren't doing exactly the same thing, etc. So, you know, it's always a challenge to find the balance, and you have to really get your values right and work out in life, you know, what's going to be rewarding for you and what's going to make you happy, and work out, you know, how much is really enough, and then go from there. But you know, obviously taking care of yourself physically, nothing can buy that. A happy family, money can't, you know, necessarily buy that either. So, you know, you've really got to find the balance in life between business, personal and family.
Yeah, and that was one of my questions towards the end, but we'll go over it now. Is so you train with me kind of 5 days a week. You're still very active over the weekends. You clearly have a lot on your plate with Lightning Broadband in early stages at the moment, and you have family, a wife and kids. How do you find the balance, or what do you find helps keep that balance between work, life, health, fitness and family?
Yeah, it's all right. It's a challenge, but you just have to make the time and prioritise what you want to do. But definitely staying healthy does enable you to work more productively. You start earlier, you've done, you know, a good workout, you're functioning and you're off firing, and I think you can be more efficient during the day, accomplish more, and therefore get home earlier to have time with your family, you know, in the late afternoon, evening, and then do it all again the next day. So, you know, it's possible to do it all. I think you need to have a good team around you of people. Obviously, you need to have a very supportive family as well. You need to have a very good trainer, obviously, too. Critical.
Which you've obviously got.
Exactly. So I'm one up there. So all those things in life are very important, and you know, you really need to create your own opportunities and make things happen for yourself, because other people aren't obviously going to drag your ass out of bed in the morning and take you to the gym. So you need to have that motivation, and once you get in a routine, it's very easy.
It's a lot easier, isn't it? Yeah. So a couple more questions before we go, mate. Is there anybody in particular, or any books or audio books or something in the past or even now that you've kind of listened to, or people that you've looked up to and taken bits and pieces from, that you've kind of used for your own journey or your own mindset or anything towards business and starting a company?
Yes, I was very fortunate when we had Energy Matters, which later sold to SunEdison, to have a very good chairman by the name of George Pappas. He was managing partner for the Boston Consulting Group for many years, and a very, very wise mentor to myself. And he actually got me to read two books, which were fantastic, and highly recommended. One's called Good to Great by Jim Collins, and the other one is called Any Given Team by Ray McLean. Both very, very good books. A lot of the things will be quite logical and make sense, but, you know, very, very key management books. And basically, you know, it's about working as a team. It's, you know, there's no I's in teams. Everyone needs to support each other in a team. And it's also about, you know, leading from above and being, you know, the fishbowl effect of, you know, people will look up to you and see what you're doing. And if you're not putting in the effort, other people won't in the team. So as a leader in the organization, you have to be very conscious of your actions and the effects that they have on the rest of the team and how you know your work ethic and so forth. So yeah, they're some two good books I'd recommend.
Awesome. And for those that are listening and do follow me on social media and stuff like that, you would have heard or seen me kind of mention before one of the best books that I've read. I've also listened to the audio book. Is called The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone. So the books that Jez just mentioned and The 10X Rule, I definitely recommend you check them out if, you know, your mindset is of someone a business person or you're just looking to grow personally or whether it's to do with work or even just or just your own personal growth. They're definitely worth a look. And I just want to finish off, mate. Do you have any advice for someone that has an idea, but is, I guess, afraid to take the first steps to really, really stepping into the entrepreneur world and taking that risk? Because it is a massive risk, especially financially. And as we've talked about, just taking the risk of sacrificing time and social life and obviously time away from family and whatnot.
Yeah, I think you really want to workshop it with some, you know, call them black hats, people that are really going to critique it and really give you honest feedback, that are very experienced in business, have, you know, potentially done startups before, understand the risks, can help you to work on a, you know, a business plan to determine, you know, what the financial results will be, you know, how long it's going to take to make profits, what kind of cash flow is required, you know, and those kind of aspects, so that you go into it you know, with full information and aware of what you're getting yourself into and how many years of work it's going to be before you actually see any financial returns, because typically with a startup it does take time before you can actually get financial rewards and start to take money out personally, and you're putting in a huge amount of hours. So you know there's, make no mistake, that, you know, it's very hard to get over that, you know, call it valley of death, and so you want to be taking it very, very seriously. You don't want to, you know, get paralysis by analysis either, so it's always a fine line, but you definitely want to go in there knowing exactly what you're getting yourself into.
Spot on. Well, thanks for joining me today, mate. And for anyone in Australia or particularly Victoria at the moment, be sure to check out Lightning Broadband. What's the
lightningbroadband.com.au, but if you're just going to Google, type Lightning Broadband, you'll see us there.
Fantastic, mate. All right, thanks for joining us today, guys. Thanks for joining us, Jez. And I'll talk to you all in the next episode.